That and Andy Griffith all the time.
8 o'clock. We'll call to order the regular, the moved meeting, but the regular board meeting of the Board of Supervisors. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall behind the media table. Attendance by observation, Hill, Bauman, Setzer, Byers, and Lytle. And Dorn and Juergens will be absent all day. Next thing on the agenda is consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes from the meeting held May 29th, 2013, approve all claims through June 10th, 2013 in the amount of $648,674.21. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve reappointing Scott Bates, 811 Hebert. Is it Hebert? Are we
Herbert.
Down south?
Herbert.
It's not Hebert. Hebert. Are we down in Louisiana? I said that right. Anyway. 811 Herbert, Beatrice, Nebraska, 68310, is a member of the Gage County Veterans Committee for a term to expire July 2018. Approved District Court Summary Fee Report for the month of May 2013. Approved canceling check number 13050192 issued to Jeffrey W. Davis, attorney, in the amount of $1,129 due to overpayment. Approved Register of Deeds Fee Report for the month of May 2013. Approved permit number 957 for Windstream, Nebraska, Inc. to install fiber optic line located in the west half of the northwest quarter, section 12, township 6 north, range 6 east in Highland Township.
I would move we accept the consent agenda.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Any discussion? Seeing none, vote. Five. Let's see who's not.
Byers.
5-0 to approve. Again, Juergens and Dorn are absent. Next on the agenda is the regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on, but if someone would show up, we'll go back. And next, I need a motion to approve or disapprove the emergency dispatch services interlocal agreement.
So move.
Moved by Byers to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Again, this is the agreement with the city that we discussed. Mark gave us a little report on last meeting. So this will be a three-year agreement, roughly a $30,000 increase each year for 3 years. No further discussion. Vote. 5-0 to approve. Next on the agenda is I need a motion to approve or disapprove the Gage County Tourism Agreement. That agreement is with Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer to approve. Any discussion? Again, this was an item we discussed a couple weeks, and I know, Roger, you've seen the agreement, correct?
Absolutely.
Jim Nelson was here and spoke to that last meeting. So there's no further discussion, vote, 5-0 to approve. Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and Norris Public Power. And that's, I'll preempt that a little bit before, that's the next thing on the agenda, but this is the agreement that has to do with that 89th Road. So, actually, I'll hold off for now. I'm going to retract calling for a motion at this point. I'm going to go down to the next item because this would be contingent on the next thing we're going to do. So, next on the agenda would be to accept, reject, or award bids for the Beatrice Northwest project, and that's actually the Coke Road, the 89th Road. And so, I'll defer to Roger before the motion. Did we ever get communication back from Coke Nitrogen?
My understanding, I'm going to be talking to their attorneys sometime this week. As far as the supplement, as you recall, the agreement, the memorandum of understanding we had did reference if we, if the bids, because nobody knows what they're going to come in at, came in different from the $500,000, that we had a provision in there that we could sit back and renegotiate the thing. There's some notice requirements which we complied with. Koch had come in last week. We talked just briefly through some emails. To me, once Koch has approved that additional cost for this road, then it's a matter of doing a supplemental addendum, if you would, to the memorandum of understanding indicating the bid, the higher bid.
So at this point, would we be, I guess where I'm sitting is, unless they've absolutely given us a thumbs up yet, you probably haven't enough conversation.
My understanding, Galen had sent me an email that said they had verbally agreed to the higher bid. Is that right, Galen, for that Koch Road?
Yeah, they actually sent an email out. Did you get that?
Yeah. We don't. Go ahead,
Galen. Just can you tell us the communication we had? Because the last what we had was the bids were about 20% higher. I think the estimate was $500,000. They came. I think the low bid was. I had it sitting here. I left it here on purpose. Did you clean up?
$616,442.
That was the.
Well, I have the bids here if you want them. Me
and so there was no one here on behalf of Koch at the time, and since it was higher, we wanted to make sure we had communication with them that they were okay with that, because remember, it's their project, we're paying for it, and they're reimbursing us, but we didn't want to do something to incur a cost that wasn't supposed to be ours. So the way I visited with Galen last week was that they needed to, or with Galen and Roger, was that they needed to give us some sort of communication that would obligate them to, yes, it's okay, spend the extra money, because it wasn't 20% or so higher. So,
and we do have, like Galen referenced, we do have an email that came out Friday from their counsel. Again, the memorandum of understanding says, you know, basically you like to see this in writing. But abundance of caution on Friday, things were winding real fast toward the end of the day, and I didn't want to be, you know, sitting here with a meeting on Monday, and those boys are ready to roll, and we haven't got on the agenda. And we, you know, had to look at it as an emergency situation because of road construction and costs and all that stuff, which I probably would have qualified, but that's why I put it back on, or put it on the agenda for today.
Yes. And I did receive a, we had, me and Deborah had a phone conversation with Ben Sharpstein and Matt Ellis. They called late Friday afternoon. They had a lot of different questions about the contract and asked a few different questions why, you know, the bid was so much higher and et cetera, et cetera. And I know Manili Wagner had sent them an explanation on different reasons why the bid did come in higher. And also after a conversation, I believe we answered all their questions. And then I had an email, and it was CC'd to Roger on Friday afternoon at 4:35, and it says, Koch approves Gage County awarding lowest bid of $616,442 to TCW Construction Incorporated. It also states that Matt Ellis will work with Roger next week on the supplement to the MOU. So
I believe it, just so because we're going to vote on it, it's a big dollar. Can we just all see it once?
Because
we didn't see it. I believe it. That way we can at least say we've all seen that, since it is higher. And again, I believe you. I just wanted to, we're voting on this. So this came from Ben. And Roger's got this too. So
right.
This was the type of communication we wanted back, was either an email, and there are more conversations.
And is that committing them to paying the extra amount?
Yeah. Basically, absolutely.
Yes.
And I think that's what the discussion was. Toward the end of last week, was they had to go through their process internally to get the extra funds approved for this project. So that's my understanding. I know Galen's had several more conversations with them, but I talked with Mr. Ellis and had an email from Mr. Sharpstein, and those were the two individuals we worked with from Koch Nitrogen on the original MOU. So, again, I guess my biggest concern was, I know how construction, every day is important when you're working on a deadline. So if we waited another 2 weeks, that puts them that much further behind as far as the contractor that we would retain for this project. And again, I don't have a problem, you know, from the standpoint we have this email and we're getting, you know, as an older attorney, I like to see them in writing, notary stamp, those kind of things. The world's working on emails now, and I don't have a problem with this, and particularly with the conversations we've had with them last week. We will go ahead and get it in writing to satisfy some older people.
And that was part of the communication that we wanted, was give us some idea, give us some feedback. And so there has been communication. We do have some. We do have some electronic communication as well. And we know the desire they have to do that road. So,
and we should be able to have that in writing in 2 weeks when we meet next to review. And
I would anticipate that
construction
starts.
I'll
probably have another email yet today, just so we can outline. You know, my idea is for the supplemental, they had some questions as to how it got there, the numbers.
Yes.
Well, that's way beyond legal's deal. The addendum to the memorandum will be a simple, probably one paragraph thing that just suggests the price that Koch will be reimbursing the county for. That's all it will be.
So we can put that on the agenda too, just to approve reaffirming the price and kind of go through the whole deal again in 2 weeks when we get all of that in writing.
If we go ahead and award this bid today, and then within the next 2 weeks they do not come back with a signed addendum to the memorandum, then what? Where do we stand?
They just cancel the contract.
That's a contract.
Okay. Yep.
So I mean, basically, you're moving as expeditiously as you can to assist them in saving construction time, and not letting 2 weeks of nice weather go by the wayside, because that is critical on this project.
This will hold up. This will hold up and give evidence of their approval. Plus, we have verbal,
right.
So I don't feel uncomfortable now.
All right. And what I'll do is I'll call call for a motion to accept the lowest bid. And Galen, can you read that again, or is it on there? In the amount of,
it's up in the top of the list.
Call for a motion to accept the low bid for the Beatrice Northwest project in the to TCW Construction in the amount of $616,442. I'll just double check here. It's right off the bid. This was low bid to TCW Construction. So I need a motion to accept the low bid secondary to there, and we'll keep this all together.
Move to accept the low bid from TCW in the amount of $616,442.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Any more discussion?
Just for clarification, in the email series that was there was an initial email that posed the question to Koch that they would be accepting the low bid in that amount. Dawn said that she would keep a copy on file, so that was it there for the public. So I agree with Denny that you know, while it's not a contract, it does.
It'll cover us.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more discussion? Seeing none, vote 5-0 to approve. The next on the agenda is approve or disapprove the agreement between Gage County and Norris Public Power. And I'll just preempt that just so we know, because it's kind of vague there. This is a utility agreement relative to that project and moving utilities. And I know Deborah and Galen, you were both at that meeting. If you've got anything to add, this was a utility meeting, or this was discussed rather at the utility meeting with Koch, and there she was with Beatrice, Norris, Windstream. Those are the three that were in the room, and about how they're going to reroute their power and things like that. So this would be, again, part of the cost that would be Koch's responsibility here. And Roger
We've had an opportunity to review it, and it's fairly standard agreement that Norris puts forth when they're doing a relocation on easement.
And Jeff Wagner from Anelli Wagner was there as well to provide counsel as far as how does this need to look and what it needs to, and if the prices were appropriate. So the amount is $57,344.18. So I need a motion to approve or disapprove this agreement.
I would move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. More discussion? Seeing none, vote. 5-0 to approve. Oh, let's see. I guess we don't need... The emergency item is...
Your next item was the one that abundance of caution in case we had hammered out an agreement with Koch and had it signed already that we'd have brought forward today. But
so we'll take no action on that. We'll just disregard.
We'll bring that up in a couple weeks.
Okay. Approve or disapprove Steel Flats decommissioning agreement. And before I call for a motion, I guess let's have Roger... A little background on this. Steel Flats is doing the wind farm.
Yeah, basically this is the agreement with the Steel Flats wind power project in the southwest portion of the county. The decommissioning agreement basically provides that if they ever cease using these windmills, what's going to be their liability? And I know at the meeting, and it's been a while back, when we initially looked at that as far as the zoning issues, there were some concerns, and I know Mr. Hill brought up some very good concerns, you know, looking in the future, what happens if, you know, like we're seeing out in California now where some of these, the technologies have made some of these initial windmill farms obsolete or at least in need of some refurbishing, et cetera. And there's a lot of talk out there. There's a lot of information. I talked to several county attorneys that face this kind of situation. Mr. Hill had a good idea as far as having some type of an escrow fund. And again, I think that was excellent thinking. The problem is you don't have a real tough negotiating stance, and these people typically don't have a lot of money to put aside for an escrow arrangement or some type of performance bond, those kind of things. The other issue that's kind of on the other side of that is, you know, the county does have some tangent opportunities to collect taxes, which certainly helps. But it's the landowner that is leasing this ground that has the best benefits that are coming through because they're getting paid directly. And a lot of the thought, if you will, is they're the ones, it's their land. If they're not worried about that, it should be covered in their lease arrangement, what's going to happen with that windmill that's sitting there. Maybe they're not concerned, but I'm sure their children or grandchildren might be. But from the standpoint of negotiating, we need an escrow fund or something like that. And, you know, it's a great idea. It's just very difficult to negotiate that without getting into a long and protracted discussion that probably is not going to net a heck of a lot. Because they'll, you know, they, even though we're right now a good place to locate those, we're not the only place. I'll just leave it at that. There is some economic benefits that go with this, and that's kind of the pressure that's out there for all the counties. So, as I indicated to you, you know, we can certainly negotiate with them more. We probably should have an exec session if you want to go into that. But I know it's something that the board gave that a preliminary approval as far as zoning. So I think you need to take a look at it. If you want to do that, that's fine. We'll certainly go back to the table.
Any feedback from planning and zoning regarding that? Any push? Do they feel a need to? I haven't had any feedback from them.
Well, and again, if you look at, you know, somebody, and I don't know who the individual was several years ago that saw some of this stuff coming, and the P&Z put together provisions in the planning and zoning book that cover this. Now, there's no, you know, like we need to have X, Y, and Z as far as decommissioning. And I'm not being critical of that. I'm just saying that's one of those things that, you know, you can regulate something to death. even though it's a great idea, we're talking 4 years down the road, you would hope with the investments they're going to make in this thing that they would take the opportunity to maybe bring the technology up to speed at that time and keep the windmills going. Who knows what we're going to have in 40 years.
So that's some background. You know, that was a discussion that came up last time, and you've been in communication with, I believe it was Ted Weissman.
Weissman, and yeah, and actually there's a couple other ones that have been, you know, that we've been just sharing information, discussions, and again, from their side of the fence, they're looking at, you know, we're going to be good stewards, and we have contracts with the landowners. As we heard, you know, again, is this company, you know, what's it going to be in 40 years? Who knows? Again, the parent company is one that certainly has a lot of assets, but there's a certain amount of you're working with them so that they can bring this energy to Gage County. It does benefit the county, as well as school district and other entities.
So I need a motion to approve or disapprove the Steel Flats decommissioning agreement. Steel Flats, did I say that right? Sorry. And you, Roger, you've seen that and you're comfortable, okay.
Yes. Well, like I said, this, you know, it's one of those things, if I had to write it so that it looked just like what we wanted to protect us for the next 50 years, it would be different, but it's a give and take situation. But that's a policy decision for this board. I tell you, legally, we can live with this. And, you know, in 40 years, I doubt if I'd be here to yell at, so.
Motion to approve or disapprove.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Byers to approve. Any more discussion? John.
Well, and basically from when they talked to us in April, it's basically the same decommissioning agreement.
Yeah, you're right.
I guess my concern is this is agricultural land. It's not industrial land or anything like that. And, you know, there's every indication to believe that it'll go back to agricultural land in the future. And I don't think that, you know, their decommissioning agreement protects that as much as it should. I think it leaves it kind of open. Now, they also don't need a decommissioning agreement to proceed, right?
No. I mean, it's something that basically other people have reflected the same ideas that you have. It's like we need to think further than 10 years down the road. And I think that's right now you're in those initial stages where you're having that clash. And so far there's no, like, state regulations or laws that require certain provisions.
As I understand it, they don't need a decommissioning agreement for 10 years after they start. They can proceed without it for that long. So, but I don't think it protects it as well as it should. That's my...
Anybody else?
I think I agree with Roger. It's kind of up to the landowners to protect themselves in that area. And we can try and overregulate things to death to where they say, okay, we won't come to Gage County, we'll go someplace else. And then the county misses out on all of those tax dollars. So I think it's in our best interest to go ahead and pass this at this time.
Any further discussion? I have a motion and a second. No further discussion. Vote 4-1. Hill against. Bauman, Lytle, Byers, Setzer, 4, signing the agreement. And we don't need a supermajority.
Oh.
We just have, okay. So it passes 4-1, the agreement. Discussion of final reinstatement of health care plan. And I'll defer this to the clerk, because I know there was a meeting last Friday, is that
correct? We've been having meetings all along, but this has been kind of on the side that they've been working on. It's a restating of our insurance, which has to be done every 7 years. The Employment Retirement Income Security Act requires this. So besides the fact that it needs to be restated for that reason, they also recommend you restating it after you reach, we've had 12 amendments, and they would like it anything past 10 that it restates, so that, that when they're going through our agreement, they don't miss something as far as for paying claims. So that's the process. We have it back in hand now, and they're asking for you to sign the first page to start using it. That's basically kind of it as far as I...
So we're restating that we're going to continue the...
It's restating our plan, what they do, and I didn't quite understand either, is they take everything that we have, put it together, reformat it, and put it back into one agreement instead of the agreement, and then all these addendums that we've added to it, our amendments.
And this is independent and or separate from any potential increases in premiums? Or that, is that still, those discussions are still ongoing?
Right, okay. Right. This is just something required by the law. Every so many years you have to do that.
Did they say, will that be changing? 2014, is that all?
This is not really involving
not
that as much. No, it's some of it is, but there's still so many unknowns pertaining to that. There's some things that will take place in January, but since our plan is not renewed till September, we've got a little time.
Okay.
So it's kind of an unknown for all of them.
Okay. Next is a discussion on the agreement between Gage County and the City of Beatrice for the purpose of office space for probation. And I'll just start, and then I'll turn it over to Gary. And I know myself and Myron and Gary met with Sarah. Boy, has that been 2 or 3 months ago. As that agreement comes up, it'll be a 3-year agreement, and that's come and due again. So you want to touch a little bit on what we talked about? Discussion.
We went up to the probation office and took a tour of it, got a feel for the lay of the land, and discussed with Sarah up at the probation office if this was meeting their needs or if there was some way that we could better utilize the square footage of the property there that we were using. And there has been some discussions briefly with Tobias at the city just to see kind of where everybody's standing on things, or where, you know, if everybody's kind of wanting to go ahead and discuss renewing this contract, if that's something we even want to get in discussion with. And I think that currently it'd be a good time to go ahead and get full blown into that discussion. So, I mean, that's the long of it in the skinny.
Are they, do they understand that we probably would like to renegotiate that rate?
I don't think that was brought up. I mean, it wasn't by me, but I think that they realize that any time that you come back to the table, you're always going to look at all facets of it.
Just as we have had discussions here, they should understand the rate that we're paying there. We can move into other areas and do it substantially cheaper. We want to be cooperative, obviously, with the city and do what we can, but I think we need to look at how much we're spending rate-wise, rent-wise on that area, too. So as you discuss, I think that should be part of the discussion point. We want to stay, but.
So the first meeting was Gary, myself, and Myron. Is there any objection to us, the three of us, kind of continuing that process with?
That's great.
Is everybody done, comfortable with that? You know, just really the discussion was with Sarah, kind of looked at the physical space. There were some requests there to do some things. I think they like the space, so we'll proceed with Tobias and go that route then. Discuss and we'll keep, because that's end of September.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a little bit of time here, but through the budgeting process, it'll be good to know where we stand on that. Well, that's it.
Glenn might want to speak. He's here with staff for the flex sign up and
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't have Glenn on here, but we'll. Glenn, you want to speak about the insurance flex plan and AFLAC?
Remember, I promised Denny to be here.
1 minute.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'm just here for the annual flexible spending benefit that you guys offer your employees as far as the pre-tax program goes, where they pre-tax their health insurance premium portion they pay, or if they buy any, have any other tax pre-taxable deductions, they can run it through this, through AFLAC pre-tax program. Also, it's if they have any AFLAC products or want to look at any AFLAC products. So it's all on a voluntary basis. This program saves you guys approximately anywhere between $11,000 and $13,000 a year in taxes that you don't have to pay, Social Security taxes that you don't have to match. So it's an annual thing I do. I guess we started in 94 or 3, somewhere in there. So it's been going and working pretty good for everybody. Everybody has to sign a form, even you folks. You don't have to participate, but you have to, IRS says you have to have it offered to you, and you have to have proof that it was offered to every employee on a volunteer basis, but every employee doesn't have to participate. So you can either sign a waiver if you don't want to, and otherwise. It's where you can set dollars aside to help pay medical expenses, dental expenses, babysitting, all with tax-free dollars, so... I'll be here today and at the highway department tomorrow. So,
I keep asking this question because I don't know all of it that's in there, but I believe some of the flex plan deductions are eligible expenses. That'll change on the Affordable Care Act too, won't it?
I guess I'm not knowledgeable enough to answer that, but I'm sure that will.
Because I don't know, but I've heard some of that discussion.
There's a cap, I don't understand. We can only take out, what, $2,500 now, or before it was higher, you could take out whatever.
Okay.
Now they put a cap on it that we're not allowed to.
Used to be adjustable, that portion, as far as an employer. If I think it was $3,600, and if the employer wanted to raise it, depending on, they could, but it depends on the salaries of your employees where they can afford to set a lot aside and not get them in trouble financially. It's you can't just blow it out of proportion, but it kind of is adjusted according to the salaries of your employees. You can't get your employees in trouble by letting them put $5,000 or $10,000 in, and when they actually is going to short them on the other end somewhere, then you're responsible for that part. But if their salaries are large enough, where they can go over the set level without getting them in trouble, then the government don't mind letting you do that, change it, but it's up to the employer. The employer is responsible for the max, so you have to respect your employee salaries, I guess they're saying. So.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I'll be in this office after you guys are done.
What we think we know about health care will be completely different in about 6 years. Well, what we think we know about health care may be completely different in 6 to 7 months.
So. I meant to with your meeting, nobody really knows what's going
to. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? I don't have committee reports on the agenda, but you have it updated here. I know that in Terry's absence, we were able to go through pretty well. Blame that on Terry. Good discussion, but... plan for the next meeting on the 26th. Going to be a lot of meat and potatoes of that meeting. This one was a little bit shorter. We had a lot of these things we had already discussed once before. So,
what kind of meat?
Smoked
beef.
Smoked beef. Brisket. You're bringing brisket. Don's bringing brisket, for the record. All right.
It says bring in it. Good.
Anything else? Anything else for the good of the order? Gus? All right. Board of Supervisors adjourned 8:34.